Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 to 24. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, and not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do his will, work in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom if he come, shortly I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. The Lord's messenger this morning, the Reverend Errol Stone, pastor of Faith Presbyterian Church in Perth. We thank the Lord he can be with us today to minister to us God's word. And the topic is the pastor's role. The pastor's role. I guess he will be preaching to me. Reverend Stone, please come.
Greetings to you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I do bring you hearty greetings from Faith Presbyterian Church in Perth. And I praise God for your love for us, and we just give thanks to you as a people. Today is momentous, and we praise God for Pastor Jeffrey reading out this these verses. And today there's just 3 points. And the 3 points from these verses today are three words. One from verse 7. In Hebrews chapter 13, which says remember. The second word is from verse 17, which says obey. And the third point is salute. It's speaking about pastors. The first one bears reference to remembering the pastors before, remembering those who have taught you. And then comes the pastor's role even of today. And then finally it's to salute. So 3 words, 3 points. And how we give thanks to God for his goodness and for the truth of his word. The first verse, Hebrews chapter 13 verse 7 says, remember them which have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Let us pray. Lord, our loving and heavenly Father, we give thanks for thy goodness to us. We give thanks for the truth of thy word. And Lord, we give thanks for thy marvelous goodness to thy faithful people. And Lord, I pray as we go through this message today, ever so briefly, that thou will be gracious unto us, that we will be challenged, but that we will also be encouraged to look to thee. For these things we commit unto thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I would just like to, before we get into the message proper, as we are looking at remembering those which have preached before, which puts us into the message, mention three books. Now, the three books today that I would like to introduce you to. First one, the Authorized Version, the King James Bible, which you have faithfully stood upon. You know it, you're familiar with it. There may be one book that you're not quite familiar with, not in here, but one book. But remember, Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I am the Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the end. Well, we know that God's word is the truth. And praise God for those of you who have stood faithfully upon the truth of his word. As we remember those who have taught us, as we remember those who have gone before, as we remember the founding principal of the Far Eastern Bible College, as we remember the founding pastor of the church here, True Life, BV Church, Singapore, I would just like to introduce another book. It's this one here. Folks, if you're not aware of it, this is the one that started your problem. It started 10 years ago. The adversary, Satan, inspired some people to stand against you. And this is the book that was introduced to Life BP Church in Singapore, which divided so many families, which divided so many churches in an ungodly manner. I pray, folks, that you'll understand what started it 10 years ago. 7 years after the founding of the church here, God showed that you were right. God vindicated you by using what book? This one. The Westminster Confession of Faith. Folks, that's how it started. And I hope your ears did pierce, because it was a bitter time. It caused so much hurt in your families, so much dividing of friends, so much dividing of churches. That's the one that did it. It is poison. And I just notice inside it says, source of poison that confused and divided BPC and FEBC. That's the one that did it, folks. Instruments of the adversary were used to do it. People who preach, people who teach, and people who are just corrected by three of your high court appeal judges by using this. The Westminster Confession of Faith, showing that the words are pure. Folks, the vindication was of God's word. Yes, you're vindicated because of standing for it. That's all you were vindicated for just standing for God's word. But praise God, you had the courage to do it, because many didn't. You are blessed. 2 years ago, arriving here in your bulletin. 2 years ago, what was in there? 2 years ago this very day, it was the last will and testament of Reverend Dr. Timothy Coates. And what did it say? It said in there that Dr. Jeffrey Koo was to be the principal of the Far Eastern Bible College. Folks, some things are written and some things are unwritten. He who has ears, let him hear. Reverend Dr. Timothy Coates, and this will be vouched for, always used to say, Word of God says here, remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Reverend Dr. Timothy Toe always maintained that two things would go together. The principle of the Far East Bible College, number one, and True Life Church. He maintained they should always be the same thing. Folks, he told his best friend. But what did Judas do? It's easy to go out and tell people these things, isn't it? Then all of a sudden they start to understand what's going on. Folks, some of these things are unwritten, and you may be hearing it for the first time. Can you understand now the scheming and the planning and the everything that was against you? The two always went together, folks, and today is the culmination of it. As your pastor, Pastor Jeffrey, stood up here, took the Dean Bergen oath. You elected him. He was duly elected. He is duly qualified. And this is the part that was unwritten that now is fulfilled. The two must go together. Do you get it, folks? Some of you may not have thought about this before, but that's the way that it was, and that's the way that it is. Folks, it's momentous. It is God's plan. It is His perfect plan. How we give thanks for the anniversary last year of the Chinese congregation. Last week was the first anniversary. You know, normally you'd say Ni Hao Ma to the interpreter and the Chinese folk who are with us. Well, this time we can give them a love gift as their first anniversary and praise God for that. But do you know what, as this book started the problems, this book revealed that the truth is in this book. And praise God for the 400th anniversary this week of this book. This book which was so faithfully taught to us for over 50 years from your beloved founding pastor, the beloved principal of the Far Eastern Bible College. When the vindication came through, it was sweetness to all of our ears. Not a gloating, not a boasting, but a vindication of God's word by three High Court judges. Praise God, they had the wisdom to look through the Westminster Confession. My Westminster Confession comes in two parts. It's just worn out. My Bible, likewise, is in several parts. Well, we need to be using things, folks. Praise God for His goodness. Dr. Jeffrey, at the beginning of this week, Monday, opened the class at FEBC. And it was the 400th anniversary. This week is the 400th anniversary of the KJV, the Authorized Version. 400 years, this Bible has remained faithful. It has stood up to all the attacks that the adversary has, in using his instruments, have not been able to stop. It is the greatest book that has ever been produced, and praise God for that. He, at the beginning of this week, stood up as the principal of the Far Eastern Bible College. At the end of this week, he stands up as the pastor, duly elected, duly consecrated, of True Life PP Church. Tonight, he has the privilege, folks, of standing up as the principal of FBBC. These are the things that your founding pastor desired, and today they have come to pass. Can you understand the momentous occasion you have? It is only just on the 20th of April is his second homegoing, the anniversary of his second homegoing. And then 26th out came the vindication of God's word. Vindicating his word, vindicating FEBC, which, folks, next year celebrates its 50th anniversary. It has been a faithful Bible college for 49 years. Let's pray that it continue faithfully. And so it's momentous right on the eve of the 50th anniversary of the Bible College. It is faithful, folks. But the adversary has used many students who are even at the Bible College, some who may even graduate tonight, who don't realize at this point that they may turn against the truth. Pray for the folks who are graduating tonight and for all who have graduated over the years as well. What a momentous occasion. The sovereignty of God continues to prevail. Remember those who have gone before you. Across at Bethel BP in Melbourne just recently, by the grace of God, there were Deacon Paul Cheng was ordained as a pastor. There were five pastors involved in his ordination, and all of us were from FEBC. Reverend Stephen Koo, Reverend Dr. Kwek Swan Yu, Reverend Dr. Das Koshi, Reverend Hien and myself, and we were all ordaining an FEBC student to be a pastor. What a blessed time. Reverend Dr. Das Koshi challenged the people. He challenged them pretty sternly. He used this verse to start off with, and he used 4 points from verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 13. 4 points. He gave these 4 points to the congregation, and then he gave the 4 points to the pastor as well. The 4 points he gave were, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken. The first one, remember. Second one, spoken unto you the word of God. Whose faith? Follow their faith. Considering the end, considering the conduct, considering the way that they finished. End of their conversation. And folks, there was a shameful thing that happened 2 years ago. The shameful thing was that Reverend Dr. Timothy Toh's casket, his body, was not in the church that he was the founder of. It was in another one. It is tragic, folks, for what we see is the work of the adversary. Folks, as you have allowed grace, we have seen the wisdom. We saw the wisdom in your founding pastor. We saw the humility in your founding pastor. And whether people agreed with him or not, God used him. God used him in a mighty way. God used him for the reaching out in this world to hundreds of thousands of people. There are over some 600 graduates of the Bible College. The Word of God says, remember those who have taught us. So many lives saved. Remember those who have taught us. One of the things, as mentioned, Reverend Toh had great humility. As you received the first court verdict where it went against you, the thing that I observed was, you were humble in it. As this second verdict has come out, in vindication of God's word, in vindication of FEBC, in vindication of True Life Church, and I praise God for you continuing to walk alongside True Life Church. Many of you at the beginning may have thought, what's this all about? Folks, it was worth it for those of you who stayed here. It was worth it. Praise God for that vindication. But the humility in which you expressed that. And it was mentioned at the family meeting the other night, on Friday night, that there is an Abraham principle. Remember Abraham and his nephew Lot? Because their material possessions had got so great. Their flocks, their herds they had become so large. The herdsmen were at each other. So Abraham stood there, and he had the right. He had the right to make the choice, and he said, nephew Lot, you make the choice. You choose which side you would want. Well, Lot looked down, and he headed to the place which had the green pasture. But it didn't do him a lot of good. He's the one that had the choice. The one that he chose did not do him any good. Abraham then took the other path. You need to understand, the Word of God mentions about seven deadly sins. Proverbs chapter 6. And as we, from the seven deadly sins in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through to 19, you'll notice there is a numerical progression. Numerical progression, when you get to the last one, it's the most deadliest. And the most deadliest sin there is he that setteth discord amongst the brethren. He that soweth discord. That's the one that is the deadliest. And folks, that's what happened some 10 years ago and just continued to progress. Will
the folks across at 9A and 10 Gilstead, will those who are there at the moment have problems in the future? They sure will. They sure will have problems in the future. But only if humility is not exercised and repentance is not exercised. If humility and repentance are exercised, then that will be completely different. But if it's not, folks, the problems will be huge. So yes, they will, if there's no repentance and no humility exercised. How we give thanks to God for remembering those who have taught us, remembering your founding pastor. The second part is to remember, verse 7, first point. Second point is obey. Obey them that have rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And so I pray that as you witnessed the consecration today of Pastor Jeffrey, Reverend Dr. Jeffrey too, you will walk alongside him. You will encourage him. You see, the pastor's role is huge. There is rarely a time that the postman goes past the minister's mailbox. There is generally always a letter that goes in. Sometimes emails come in as well. Phone calls come. The pastor's role is huge. You know, folks working 40 hours a week, you know what it's like to work 40 hours a week. Most often you will find that your pastor has spent 40 hours of the week studying, praying, preparing messages, preparing lectures, 40 hours a week. Then after that, he goes to work. He does the preaching, he does the teaching, he does the counseling, he does the visitation, but not all visitations are his, folks. It is not for the pastor to be doing all of the visitations in the church. Yes, if there's an emergency, pastor will be there. We give thanks for the elder. We give thanks for the plurality of leaders. We give thanks for the deacons who are able to take up all these tasks as well. And remember that the original task of the deacons was to serve the widows. And I pray that you will not neglect the widows in your church. For that is pure religion and that is undefiled. And the Word of God says, speaking of families who do not look after their loved ones as widows, that they are worse than infidels. I pray that as a church, you may continue to remember them. And remember your pastor who does all of these things. There was an article in the Banner of Truth a number of years ago, which was titled, "The Pastor is Ill." The pastor is ill. And in that article, it was mentioned why the pastor becomes ill. You know, often he's in hospital, and nurses and doctors are too. You're prone to picking up infections, to picking up cold viruses, etc. But so is your pastor. His workload is often just so arduous. The ministry at the end of the Lord's Day, his body is usually absolutely exhausted. The mind is still willing to do the things of God, but the body is just so weak and needs to be refreshed. Sometimes the counseling can be just a one-off and the explanation of God's word fixes it. Sometimes it's just a little longer. There are so many roles that the pastor is involved with. And I'd just like to briefly mention a few. As we do partake today, he'll be administering the ordinance to you. He is to pray, he is to warn, he is to study, he is to preach, he is to teach, he is to exhort, he is to watch out for your souls, he is to preach, he is to feed the flock, he is to lead the flock as well, and he is to be an example. And praise God for that. Well, he is called of God. And praise God for Pastor Jeffrey taking on this position today. You know, John Calvin's son-in-law was involved in the putting together of the Geneva Bible, a Bible that God has used greatly. And so you can see in the past where son-in-laws have been used greatly as well. Folks, this is not nepotism. This is not. You see the way that God did all this? And praise God for your faithfulness. Praise God for your stance for the Lord. He is qualified, he is commissioned, he is separated. There is a great trust that is entrusted to him. Pastor has to be humble. Folks, you got it. Has to be patient. You know, sometimes I saw Mrs. Toad mentioning to Reverend Toad, "Daddy, you know, look what this person is doing." Reverend Toad would sit there and he'd say, "Never mind." He'd shake his hand like, "You never mind. God will deal with them." And you know what? God dealt with every one of them. Every one of them. He is to be patient. He is to be impartial, devoted. He's to be strong, strong in the word and strong in the graces of God. He is to be apt to teach. And folks, you know, you have recorded in history, in the books of history throughout this world now, the fact that your pastor has stood so firm upon the truth of God's word. The problem now that exists, the absolute humility that exists for those who went against God's word, is that it will be recorded in legal journals for many, many years to come. A landmark case, a case that will be studied. Absolute humility. Folks, I pray that you will understand the pastor whom God has given unto you. He is to be watchful, to be prayerful. He is not to be greedy. He is not to be contentious. He is not to be crafty. He is not to be a men pleaser. He is not to be easily dispirited. But he is to seek the salvation of the flock. And as you were praying for the salvation of folks a while ago, I pray that we concerted in our efforts to reach out, even in the days of great apostasy that we are living in. Well, to preach, to feed, to watch, to strengthen, exhort, rebuke and comfort as well. He should preach Christ crucified, repentance and faith. Not with the enticing words of men, but through the word of God. When he's faithful, the folks will approve of him. Folks, if you ever have any issues with Dr. Jeffrey, okay, don't go around talking behind his back. The Word of God does not tell us to do that. The Word of God does not tell us to be nocturnal schemers where we scheme all night and then during the day we implement what we want to implement. The Word of God says if you have an issue with a brother, you go to that brother. You go to that brother if that brother has offended you. And remember that if you take somebody else back with you, it has to be somebody who has absolutely witnessed what has actually gone on. That then stops a lot of people from talking, from using the tongue in a manner that should not be used. Never say anything that you don't have a reference for, that you cannot vouch for. Just don't say it. When folks are unfaithful, they will deal treacherously with people. They will delude them. They will deceive them. It's not good to be involved in deceit. It is not good to delude men. It is not good for them to seek gain. For God will deal with them. You have to understand this. May you exercise humility as you press on from here. There are many examples in the scriptures today of men who have stood faithfully, pastors who have stood faithfully. First point, remember. Remember them which have the rule over you. We remember the past. The past pastor, the foundation pastor of the church here. Obey them that have rule over you. So the second point is obey. And submit your souls, for they watch for your souls as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Then you see in the last verses that Pastor Jeffrey read out just a while ago, verses 18 through to 25. Now, remembering that the book of Romans speaks about the supremacy of Jesus Christ over the previous systems, sacrificial systems. And the first 11 chapters are of doctrine. So important to have doctrine first. And then the last chapters are of practical application. So folks, here is the practical application for you. And it's focusing on Jesus Christ. The final verse the final verse we have our third point from today is verse 24. And it says, salute all them that have rule over you and all the saints. Salute. In other words, greet them. If you have a grievance with Dr. Jeffrey, you go to him. But folks, don't make things up and don't make mountains out of molehills. Pray for much wisdom that things be said properly. Salute them. Don't be angry with them. Don't refuse to talk to them. Be on speaking terms with them. Be on good terms with them. You know, you have had so many blessings. So many blessings. And the Word of God has been vindicated. And as a result, you have as well. Greet them. Salute them. Be cheerful to them. Understand that the workload that they have. Often when the pastor becomes ill, there are people in the church who will say, how long will he be out of action for? How long do we have to support him for? When will he come back? If your pastor becomes ill, I pray that you will understand. Even Epaphroditus, as is mentioned in Philippians chapter 2, he labored nigh unto death. Nigh unto death. He labored that hard for the Lord that he was nearly dead. You know, question asked, prayer meeting at Bethel. How many in the congregation across there were indirectly responsible for the sickness of their beloved pastor? Reverend Dr. Craig Swan, you mentioned about after ordaining Reverend Paul Cheng. He said, folks, if you don't want him, send him back. Don't kill him. He could hardly finish his message. He was a man who was sent from here across. Reverend Darcis picked up the workload of Reverend Cheng. And do you think Reverend Darcis' workload was heavy enough as it was? Folks, where you can ease the workload of your pastor, I pray you do it. I pray you understand he is human, but God has ordained him into a position. I pray that you will greet him, that you will show respect for him, the respect that's due to him. And I'd just like to finish with several verses from Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. As your beloved pastor has been attacked so severely over these years, for the last 10 years. Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through to 12, and the Word of God says, blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's his first blessing. His second blessing is verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. A lot of that which went on previously were actually lies that were propagated to start off with, and people just kept going on. What could Dr. Jeffrey do? He just continued to preach. He just continued to teach. But God's word was vindicated in the end. Double blessing. Rejoice, falsely for my own sake. Verse 12. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Folks, we need to be people who forgive. But you must understand that fellowship with those who have a low view of God's word, fellowship with those who attack God's word, is that which you've got to be extremely cautious of. Work together, and the cross on the properties? Pray. Trust God. Look to him. He is the one that has vindicated you. He is the one who will see you through. As we do close, Hebrews 13, remember. First point in verse 7. Second point, obey, verse 17. Final point, salute, greet to them. Let us pray. Lord, our loving and heavenly Father, we give thanks for thy goodness to us, and we give thanks for the vindication of thy word. And we do pray, Lord, that we be a people who continue to trust thee and understand that the vindication was of thy word. And we give thanks for all who have stood firm over all these years, for we know that they have a double blessing and their rewards are in heaven. We know that that the founding pastor of the church here was treated so unkindly by many who he thought were his friends. We know that, Lord, that in the end he remained faithful. Lord, I pray that those who have attacked thy word will understand the error of their way and exercise humility and repentance, for then the troubles that they experience will be less. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.